wonderful to be with you this morning. Again, if you don't know me, my name is Jason, and I'm a missionary here in the Buffalo area. My wife and I have been missionaries with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ now for a long time, 23 years. And we spent 11 of those years in China, serving in China. And so it's just wonderful to be with you here this morning. Occasionally, the pastors of the church will ask me to come share a message. And so last week and this week, I'm preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. We'll be leaving the Sermon on the Mount and going over to 1 Peter, because I feel like there's an interesting correlation and I think an important message for us to hear today. But we're looking at this sermon called People of the Kingdom. What does it mean to be a person of the kingdom? And looking at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, he's speaking about kingdom life. What are people of the kingdom to look like? What kind of heart attitudes, what kind of postures, what kind of actions are we to have as people of the kingdom? You know, Jesus is our King. And it's so wonderful to be in this church to worship Him this morning. He is our King. He is worthy of our praise. And we surrender and submit our lives to our great King. So I'll share a little bit about what's going on in our ministry. This week on campus, we've been meeting all the new international students. So all the new international students have been on campus this week on Monday. We're out tabling. That's what we call it in campus ministry. And we had 250 free cups that had the name of our group called Bridges of International. The first day, all the cups were gone. And so we probably met between 400 to 500 new international students on campus, many from India, many from China and different countries. Met two Italians. It's fun to meet some students from Europe and had wonderful conversations with them. And we're going to be having some activities. One of the fun activities, you might be wondering, why is this bus on the screen, is on Friday night, our ministry is going to, we've rented two yellow school buses, 43 seats in each bus, and we're going to take students to Niagara Falls to see the falls at night when they're all lit up, and then there's fireworks at 10 o'clock. And so I'd ask you to be praying for us. We've already put a link in our Instagram page, and we're already full. I think we've already sold out. We have 86 spots. And the one thing that I'd ask you to pray for is pray for God to provide for the buses. We've actually grown. We could probably get another bus, but I think we're going to just stick to two buses. And we estimate the cost. It'll be about $10 per seat, $10 per student. So just pray. Pray for God to provide for this need, about $900 for these two buses to rent them for 5 hours. And just pray for God to provide. If you feel led to give, you can let me know or the missions committee know. Yeah, and just pray for us. Pray for God to provide and pray that as we welcome these students, most of them not Christians, that we would be able to sow seeds into their lives and tell them about Jesus and just really welcome them in word and deed as believers in Jesus and sow seeds into their lives. So I ask you to pray for that for us as we get going with the semester. So yes, we'll be looking today at 1 Peter. If you remember last week, we were in Matthew chapter 5, and we were looking at the last three Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. And as Jesus was getting into the end of the Beatitudes, there's a really interesting shift towards persecution. If you remember, it says here in verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he continues, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So when we think about what it means to be a person of the kingdom, oftentimes, it also talks about being a peacemaker, but yes, there will be peace. We become peacemakers, and of all people, we are the ones to forgive because we've been forgiven. But we also know as we live as Christians in this world, there will be persecution. Christianity was birthed out of persecution. Jesus himself experienced persecution. The earliest followers of Jesus Christ experienced persecution. And no doubt, as we follow Jesus in the world around us, we are going to experience persecution. So I really wanted to jump over to 1 Peter, because if you know anything about this epistle that Peter's writing, it's to this group of Christians who are scattered all throughout Asia. They're most likely Gentiles, non-Jewish people who've come to Christ, and they're being persecuted. There's just persecution going on all around them. And so it's a really interesting book to look at is how do people of the kingdom live in an environment like that? They were a persecuted minority group all throughout Asia. And so I feel like there's just so many lessons that can be learned, and I want to specifically look at verses 13 through 17. And I think it's a great thing for us to think about as Christians now, as we have gone through the last 3 years, for example, and specifically when it comes to the government, specifically when it comes to politics. And so some of you might be getting nervous now, like, oh, Jason, are you for real? Are you serious? I am serious, and I hope to present this in a warm way, in a truthful way, and for you to go digest it yourself as you think about this. How are we as Christians, as at times a persecuted group, how do we deal with the government? How do we approach politics? And I realize this could be the last time I'm ever allowed to preach here at Amherst Baptist. But bear with me, bear with me. I come in peace. I come in peace with you today. But let's read it together. Let's read it together. You can stay seated, and I'll read it aloud. This is the passage, this is the word of the Lord that we'll be focusing on here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And this is Peter's, led by God, but led by the Spirit, God's word for us. Be subject to the Lord's, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it is to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil, to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Let me pray. Father, as people of the kingdom, Jesus, you are our king. We come to you and we submit ourselves to your word. Your word is true. Your word, it has no error in it. Your word comes to us from you, it's truth. We know that when we take your word and build our lives on it, it's like the man who built his house on a rock. And when the floods came and the winds came, the house did not fall down. Lord, we know this about your word. And sometimes your word can be challenging. But Lord, we come to you today in submission to your word. May we not put ourselves over your word, but may we submit it to ourselves to it today. Even and difficult subjects like this. Give us wisdom, Spirit, help apply it to our lives. And I pray even in the discussion and application times afterwards that there would be a spirit of unity and respect as we talk about this topic. But God, we give this topic to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the fun things about living in China for my family and I is that we lived in Asia. And so when you live in Asia and you have chances to go on vacations, you're like a plane flight away from really cool areas of the world. And so as many of you have known, as I've shared messages before with you in the past, I've talked about Thailand. We were able to go to Thailand five times. We love going to Thailand. Even to this day, I love to watch YouTube videos about Thailand. I think it's just one of the most wonderful places in the world. The food is great. The people are great. The beaches are great. There's just something about Thailand. But if you know anything about Thailand, Thailand is an interesting country because it's a king. There's a king. And as I've shared with you before, like when you go to watch a movie in Thailand, you're required to stand up and give homage to the king, they put on this little short movie about the king, and you stand up. And our family was warned, if you go to watch a movie in Thailand, even though you might not be a citizen of Thailand, you are required to stand up and honor the king before you watch that Tom Cruise movie or whatever you're watching, right? And sure enough, that was the case. And after we moved back from China, we learned that the king of Thailand, in 2016, he died. And the people of Thailand really loved this king. He was 88 years old, and he had done a lot of wonderful things for the country of Thailand. If you go there today, their healthcare is fantastic. It's not a perfect country, but the people of Thailand loved their king. And when he died, it really set off this whole year of mourning. And as you can see from this picture, this woman is holding the picture of her king who had just died. And the people were seriously mourning the loss of their king. You know, in many ways, as an American, this is so foreign for me, because when it comes to our approach to politics, one of the great, the funny things, I don't know how I should say it, one of the interesting things about Americans is political cartoons. So this is George Bush, right? George Bush number two. And it's totally looking to lampoon him. So there's I don't know, Pastor Eric's here, he loves history, but you could do a whole historical search on political cartoons. Like, you go into the Buffalo News today, there's going to be a political cartoon about somebody in there, oftentimes a politician. So this one is from a while back, I think it's from the Chattanooga Times, and it's trying to make George Bush look dumb, right? Because they would always pick on George Bush because they claimed he was dumb. So, and it says, what does it say? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the claim is he can't even read English. He doesn't even know how the sign should be, right? So this is kind of the environment that we as Americans can be in. If you're from a foreign country, you might be like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. I suppose that comes with our freedom of speech, and in some ways that's good. But now as we become Christians, as people of the kingdom, what should our attitude be towards the Erie County executive? What should our attitude be towards the governor of New York? What should our attitude be towards the president of the United States? And this can be a tough thing to figure out. How do we approach this? What should our attitude be? Well, I think as we come now to this passage in 1 Peter, we're going to really learn more things and more clarity about what our heart should be, what our attitude should be, and how we should approach this as believers in Christ. And again, just some context here in the book of 1 Peter. This is a persecuted group. They're spread out throughout the whole of Asia Minor, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, Peter addresses them in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Yes, these people are born again through faith in Jesus Christ. They are, and through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for them, through faith in him and what he did for them, now they are people of God, children of God. But it's a difficult time for them. As you go through the book of 1 Peter, you can see that there's persecution all around them. And so it's an interesting thing for us to think about. And so I think as we come to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, I think the big idea of the passage of this, the main idea is that our citizenship in heaven greatly impacts our citizenship on earth. Our citizenship in heaven, we are people of the kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's our king. And because of that, it's going to deeply impact our citizenship here on earth and how we even view our government. And so for our prayer for us this morning is that your heavenly citizenship would move you to be godly citizens wherever God calls you to live. That your your heavenly citizenship would cause you and move you to be a godly citizen wherever God leads you to live. And that's what Peter is telling these people. These are people scattered around this area of the world. And he's calling them, as the people of God, to be godly citizens in that environment. And so as we come to 1 Peter verses 13 through 17, we're going to be learning three truths of what it looks like to be the people of God, what it looks like to be a citizen of heaven in a persecuted world. And the first thing that we learn is this. Friends, submit yourselves to the government. Submit yourselves to the government as a sojourner and stranger in the world. Because of who we are in Jesus Christ, we can submit ourselves to the governments in which we live. What does it say here in verse 13? Be subject. Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution. And he's saying, you know, to the emperor who is supreme, and also to the governor, even lower officials. But really what's so interesting is as you come to verse 13, it's really tied to the verses that come before it. You know, it says, beloved, verse 11, as I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. So it's really tied to their identity. And even before that, he's saying you're a sojourner, an exile. And even before that, he's just reinforcing who they are in Christ. He says, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. These are the people of God, the people of the kingdom, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You are people of the kingdom. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then he says, as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh. And then he kind of goes on here, starting in verse 13, all the way even into chapter 3. And there's three areas of submission. He said, submit to the government. And then he said, servants, submit to your masters. And then thirdly, he says, wives, submit to your husbands. So we see this repetition of this idea of submission here going on. But isn't it interesting when you read the Bible, and even if you come to the epistles of Paul, Peter, really the Bible always talks about first who you are. And then it talks about then what you are to do. So even in theological terms, this is the lead to imperatives. Basically, it's who you are then leads to how you are to live. And that's what we're seeing here with Peter. He's reinforcing this is who you are. This is who you are through the gospel. This is your new identity. Therefore, live this way. And it's so true. Jesus served. Now we are called to serve. Jesus loved us. Now we go and love others. God and Jesus forgave us, right? Now we go and forgive others. So it says here, firstly, submit to the government as a sojourner and stranger in the world. Verse 13, be subject to the Lord's sake for every human institution. Really, and it's interesting, you know, Peter's saying, to the governors, verse 4, sent by him to punish those who do evil. Go to the next slide. I might have paused it. But, you know, it's interesting here, you know, Peter is saying that God has put the government there for our good, to create order out of chaos, to help create a society. He said that the government is put there by God, even when sometimes they're corrupt and not good. Go to the next slide. I don't know if you ever heard this story, but back in 1994, there was this incident that happened in Singapore. So does anyone know who Michael Fay is? This is quite a story. So Michael Fay was a high school kid living in Singapore. He was from the United States. And so like one night, he and a bunch of other young people had the bright idea of going and damaging cars. So they went up over and took rocks. They threw rocks at cars and they scratched up all these cars. And they just they're just being crazy. I don't know what's totally going on there. Well, he got caught. And it created this like international uproar. There were a lot of these people in the United States. Oh, he's just a high school kid. He's just a young kid. He made a mistake. Just send him back to the United States and we'll take care of him. And a lot of people in the United States were upset about this because when you do something like this in Singapore, they have a very severe form of punishment. Steve, do you remember what the punishment was? Yeah. So they take a bamboo cane and they soak it in water to kind of make the bamboo a little bit more of a severe. They soak a bamboo cane and they make you take a shirt off. And they bend you over and they lash you with this bamboo cane, I think 6 times. And so, as you can imagine, all of these people in America are like, oh no, don't hit him with the cane. Just send him back here and we'll take care of him. And the Singaporean government was like, oh, I'm afraid we're not going to do that. And sure enough, they hit him on his back with 6 lashes. But I guess, why am I sharing this story? I guess my point of the story is that very much so, God will put governments around us. And when you do evil things or crime, there will be punishment for those crimes. And it didn't matter if Michael Fay was an American and he can pull his American card out and say, I'm an American. Because he had left his own country and was now living in another country, he had to face the consequences of his actions in that country. You see, it didn't matter if he was from America, he had to pay the price for his actions there in Singapore. You know, in kind of the same way, Peter is calling us to do, he's calling us to submit ourselves to the government, to honor them. It says here, even at the end here in 1 Peter, honor the emperor, verse 17. Because they're put there by God. And yes, even though our citizenship is in heaven, we must submit ourselves to the governments we live under. So then the question comes, do we ever not submit ourselves to the government? Do we submit ourselves and obey the government in every situation? And my answer to that is no. Even if you look in the Acts chapter 5, when Peter and the apostles are, the church is growing and they start to preach the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, the message of Jesus Christ, preaching in the name of Jesus, and it creates an uproar, and they put him in prison, and they bring him before the council, and they say, you can't teach in the name of Jesus anymore. And Peter says, quite famously, he says, we must obey God rather than man. I remember even living in China when we were there, it was quite sensitive and quite illegal for me as a foreigner to share the gospel with people in China. But my family, we chose to share the gospel when God gave us opportunities because we wanted to obey God rather than man in that situation, right? But we knew there could be consequences, and we were willing to accept the consequences because we were foreigners living in that land, living underneath that government, and we were willing to do that and accept the consequences no matter what they are. Well, some of us might not be, we're not living in China, we have certain degrees of freedom, but even now as Christians, when it comes to biblical sexuality and our views, a time could come if you don't, like I said, even last week, if we don't hold and speak a certain way, you could go to jail. And I would say, friends, in that situation, we must obey God rather than the man. We don't want to be belligerent, we don't want to be mean and horrible people. But we do hold, we must obey God rather than man. We must hold firm to our convictions in those situations. And so be it, if they put me in the Erie County Penitentiary, we'll go there and share the gospel there and do a prison ministry there as we hold firm to our convictions. So this is the challenging relationships that Christians have with the world. We're children of God, we're people of the kingdom, but we're also citizens here. And so in some ways the world will love us, in some ways the world will hate us. But here Peter is teaching us that we must submit to the government as much as we can because the government was put there by God. And so the application question I have for you is this. How does your heavenly citizenship affect your attitude towards the government? Are you doing a good job of honoring the people put by God, that are there by God over you in the government? Or do you more identify with the political cartoons? And I'll be honest, I struggle with this at times. I don't do a good job of praying. Even in Romans, there's a section there where it says, pray for the people in authority over you. I could do a better job of honoring them and praying for them. And so I think as people of the kingdom, we need to have the right attitude and heart towards the people in the government around us. Peter is calling us to submit to them here. And you might say, well, the government wasn't that bad then. It's much worse here in America now. Oh, these emperors were brutal. They were killing people, totally corrupt. It was not good. You could argue it was much worse for the Christians at the time of this writing in 1 Peter. And so I think it's, again, something for us to wrestle with as Christians now. How can you honor the government and the government leaders over you as a citizen of the kingdom? Well, as we move on in this passage, as we look in verses 15 and 16, we're going to learn a second truth of how we can live as a person of the kingdom in a difficult world. And the second thing we learn is this: friends, serve the country you live in as a sojourner and stranger in the world. Serve. Because of who we are in Christ, we can sacrificially serve the people around us. What does it say here in verse 15? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Doing good. God is calling us to do good. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Yes, God, as people of the kingdom, even as we live in, sometimes in a difficult environment, as citizens in this world, He's calling us to serve the country that we live in. And what will happen, it says here, to put to silence the people around us, because there's people around us that don't like us. They don't like our views on sexuality. They don't like our views on abortion. They don't like many of our views. But Peter is calling us to serve those people, love those people, sacrifice for those people, so that they have nothing to say about us, because they know that we are citizens and we care about the communities that we live in. And how can we do this? How can we achieve this? Because we are free. It says, live as people who are free. We are the people of God. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. Oh, friends, if you hear one thing from me here today, live as people who are free. What is freedom? I think of a dolphin in water. Man, you ever see a dolphin in water? Just flying through the water and swimming around and jumping. And I just think of freedom. That dolphin is living how it was created to live. And when we come into a right relationship with God, we're forgiven, redeemed, we're born again, we now are free. And so Peter is calling these people, and Peter is calling us to live as people who are free. And as we're free, we are now then freed up to sacrifice and serve the people around us. I love church history. I love learning about the different types of Christians that have come up over the centuries. And one of the ones that I began to learn about in seminary were this group called the Moravians. And so the Moravians were kind of this group of Christians that came up even in the 15th century, even before Martin Luther started to protest some of the things going on in the Roman Catholic Church. The Moravians started to protest and challenge things that were going on, and they became quite a group that was passionate about prayer and passionate about missions, so much so that in 1727 they started a 124-hour prayer chain, and it lasted for over 100 years, and they started to pray for the world. And during that time, over 300 missionaries were raised up. This is in the 1700s. And so they were one of the first big Protestant missionary groups that were going to the world and reaching the world with the gospel. Well, one of the things that sprouted out of this prayer movement was that in 1732, the Moravians heard about this huge prison colony in the British West Indies. There were these thousands of slaves that were living in the British West Indies. And as they began to pray and learn about this group, they had such a heart to reach out to this group. They said, what must we do to help reach this colony? And they learned back that the only way in order for them to go reach these people is that they themselves would need to send people who would sell themselves into slavery to reach this group of slaves. So in 1732, Johann Dober and David Nitschmann sold themselves into slavery so that they could go and share the gospel with the thousands of slaves on this plantation. And serve they did. After these men started this missionaries, they ended up dying there. And the Moravians sent more missionaries after them. And after all these years of ministry, it is estimated that more than 13,000 of these people on this plantation came to follow Jesus Christ and were baptized. So how could they do it? How could the Moravians do it? Because they were free. They were free in Jesus Christ. They were citizens of the kingdom. They were citizens of another kingdom. And they were willing to forgo their freedoms and sell themselves into slavery to reach these people. Friends, the world may hate us. We're sojourners and exiles. They might hate us because of our views. They might hate us because of our belief in the Bible. But we will come and sacrificially serve the world around us because we are free and because our citizenship is in heaven. And some of you might be saying, well, Jason, this example is too much. I'm not, those Moravians are crazy. They're crazy people. I'm never going to do that. And that's probably true. And we probably will never have to do that. Well, give me another example. This is my good friend, Dr. David Holmes. He's a medical doctor in Western New York. He teaches at the UB School of Medicine. He was born a missionary kid in Africa. He grew up to missionaries. He went to medical school and then landed in the city of Buffalo. But Dr. Holmes has always had a huge heart for the marginalized people in the world. On Jefferson Avenue, over 20 years ago, he started a free healthcare clinic called Good News, Good Neighbors Healthcare Clinic. It's a free medical and dental clinic. If you ever need healthcare, you can just walk in and they'll treat you. Doctors donate their time. He started this medical clinic on Jefferson Avenue to bless the people of Buffalo. And in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak in New York City, remember when things were going really crazy in Queens? Certain sections of Queens, New York City. He went there and served in the hospitals to help the sick and dying with COVID. He volunteered his time. He did not get paid. And he risked his own health. And this was before there were vaccines. This is before there were any kind of treatment. Why? Why did Dr. Holmes do this? Why would you do this? Well, Dr. Holmes did it because he's a child of God. His citizenship is in heaven. And Dr. Holmes is free. He's freed up from his own self-absorption. He's freed up from just caring about himself, and he's free to serve these people, even to serve them sacrificially. And I always feel so thankful for having friends around me who are willing to do things like that. So this is a modern day example, and I know there might even be modern examples in this church where you serve people around you sacrificially, and I want to encourage you, continue to do it, even continue to serve the people that look down on you because of your beliefs, you know what I mean, they don't like you because of your beliefs. Peter's saying, serve, Love. Be a servant to those people. And so the application question is this here. Does your heavenly citizenship lead you to serve and sacrifice for others? May we be people who lead the way. Maybe the world around us doesn't understand us. Maybe the world doesn't like us. But may we be the ones who lead in serving and serving sacrificially. Friends, are you free? Do you know the freedom that comes from belief in Jesus Christ? Friends, serve the country that God has called you to live in as sojourners and strangers in the world. Well, as we come here to the last point, verse 17, we learn a third truth about how we are to live as people of the kingdom in the world today. And the third point is this, friends, seek the glory of God as you live as a sojourner and stranger in the world. Because of who we are in Jesus Christ, we can seek a glory that is beyond our own. And so how do we do this? How do we seek the glory of God? Well, the first way is we can seek the glory of God in praise. What does it say here in verse 13? Be subject to the, for the Lord's sake. It's really, we're doing this. Why are we subject? It's for the Lord's sake. We're seeking to glorify God by being subject to the government and the authorities over us. It brings glory to God. Verse 15, for this is the will of God. This is all about God and what He's calling us to do. And when we do it, we glorify Him. We praise Him. It's an act of worship. Verse 16, living as servants of God. We are His servants. And when we do this, it's an act of praise to God. He receives glory. And it says, verse 17, honor everyone. Love that brother. Fear God. Again, so how can we glorify God as we live as people, sojourners and strangers in the world, by praising Him, by living a life of praise to Him Monday through Sunday? A second way that we can glorify God is by seeking the glory of God in mission, seeking the glory of God. Why do we submit and serve? Verse 15, it says, again, what does it say? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. You see, when we do submit and when we do serve people around us, it has an impact on the people around us. Yeah, verse 15. And so the question I have for you, what do your neighbors say about you? My hope would be that our neighbors would say, I cannot imagine life on our street without you here. It's funny. I think as my neighbors get to know me, they know I'm the house without. Oh, I got four kids, so they view me as the guy with lots of kids, and they also view me as the minister. Oh, that's the minister with the kids over there. I'm sure Pastor Eric, he's known on the street as the guy with the kids, and the minister also. He's got eight kids. I only have four kids. Pastor's got eight kids. But how do the people on your street view you? And I pray that even if we don't have the same signs in our front yards as maybe our neighbors do, right? Seems like everybody's got signs in their front yards now. Even if we don't have a sign that is the same sign that they have, that they would know that we love and care about our neighborhood. And that if we weren't in that neighborhood, they would be sad that we were not there. And so an application question I have for you guys is this: how can you glorify God this week? How can you glorify God this week in praise? How can you glorify God this week in mission? Friends, Peter is calling us to three things. Number one, to submit to the government as a sojourner and stranger in the world. That's a tough one. Americans don't like to submit. We like freedom, but Peter is calling us to submit nonetheless. Number two, serve. Serve the country you live in as a sojourner and stranger in the world. May we be people who serve and serve sacrificially in our neighborhoods, in our community. And thirdly, friends, seek the glory of God as you live as a sojourner and stranger in the world. As I've been in this passage this week, I've been really challenged, and I've realized I have a lot of work to do. Sometimes my attitude is not good towards the government I love to pick on the government sometimes. It's a lot of fun. It's like an American pastime, right? And so as an American, or as my own sin, I've got to bring this here and check myself. I've been challenged by this. I don't know about you, how this is challenging you today. I've also been challenged by this picture of this woman in Thailand. I was like, huh, how interesting. It's challenged me. It's been moving. Her king had just died. She loved her king. And this started off a whole year of mourning. At the end of year of mourning, they took the body of the king, they cremated it, and now the body of this king is in one of the temples in Thailand. And I think this picture might capture a desire that many of us have down deep. I think we all desire a great king. I think we all desire to have an honorable king or political leaders who are just and good and who rule with wisdom. I think we all desire to be in a nation where the king looks out for the good of the people. We all desire to live in a nation where the king loves his people and the people love their king. I think there's something to this picture that resonates across cultures. Friends, I think that this picture is pointing us to something. This picture, along with the biblical text, points us to our desire for a great king. Friends, today, my message for you is this. Look to your king. Friends, embrace your king. Embrace Jesus. Like I said, in 2016, the king of Thailand died. They've cremated his body and it's resting in a palace in Thailand. Well, friends, our king died. He died on the cross for our sins. But as we all know, 3 days later, he rose again. And then several days later, he ascended to heaven and he rules and reigns as king. And we know that he will return for us someday. If you're having trouble with this passage, my message to you is this. Come to your king. Worship your king. Surrender your life to Jesus. And allow him to change you from within and empower you to live a life of sacrifice and to live a life that glorifies God. In Jesus, you will be free. Free indeed. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Let me pray. God, we thank you for this passage. And it's a tough passage. It's a difficult life at times to be a Christian. It's almost impossible. And we cannot live this life on our own. So we need you, Father. We need you to come now and give us strength. Jesus, we pray for your power to live a Christian life in a difficult world. Lord, may the people of Willow Ridge, may the people of Amherst, may the people of Western New York, may the people of Sheridan Parkside know us as people who are free and as people who serve. And Lord, this church is a church that serves. It's unquestioned. And I think the reason why Amherst Baptist is full of people who serve the community around us is because we know our King, and because we know we're free, and because we know that our citizenship is in heaven. So God, I pray that you would help us to continue in this road. It's a long road. It's a long obedience in the same direction. But God, you've sent us your Spirit, and we know who our King is. So Lord, give us strength even now. Give us strength even this week as we look to continue to walk this road. May we be firm in our convictions, unapologetic, but sacrificial in our love. May we even be people that honor the government and submit to it as best we can. But Lord, we just give you the praise today. May our lives be lives that give you praise as we worship you and as we serve others. We give this now to you in Jesus' name. Amen.